إن الحمد لله. Verily all praises and thanks are due to Allah alone, not merely in words like saying Subhanallah wa bihamdi, but in actions demonstrating our praise and our thanks to Allah. نحمده ونستعينه. And as such, it is our duty to praise Allah, to thank Him at all opportunities in our lives, whether it be in times of difficulty or it be in times of ease. And we seek refuge in Him. We seek His help when we are in need of help. Even though we may turn to our brothers and ask for their help, ultimately we have to know that they are only a means by which Allah may help us. So our trust has to be with Allah. وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ, and we should seek forgiveness from Him as much as we can. There is no limit to how much we can seek forgiveness from Allah. Because we as human beings are constantly committing errors. كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمْ خَطَّى. This is the reality. Every descendant of Adam makes mistakes all the time. But the best of those who make mistakes, as Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, are those who turn back to Allah in repentance. As such, نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we should seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is from ourselves, as well as the evil which results from our deeds, whether intentionally or unintentionally. The evil which is within ourselves, which comes from ourselves, where we choose to do evil, we seek refuge in Allah because He is the one who can help us to overcome our evil desires. And He is the one who can protect our actions from carrying evil results, even though we may not intend it. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُضُلَّ لَهِ. Whoever Allah has guided cannot be misguided. And as such, we pray, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This is the most important thing that we need to realize in this life, what we are striving for. What it is that we need out of this life is hidayah, guidance. Because if Allah has guided us, as He promised, none can misguide us. وَمَيْلٌ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And whoever Allah has allowed to go astray, none can guide. So when we strive to call others to Islam, to the path of Islam, we advise them about the truth. If they have rejected it, we should not make that become a cause for our despair. That we fall into despair. We get angry. We are upset. Because if Allah does not guide that individual, then we cannot guide. We are not guides in that sense. We cannot put faith into the hearts of others, even into the hearts of our own children. We can only take the message to them. And we pray and ask Allah to guide them. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship in this world but Allah. Allah alone, who has no partner. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last of the messengers of Allah who brought with his lifestyle the Sunnah, the way of life, which is the duty for each and every Muslim to follow. فَإِنَّ أَصْدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. Verily, the most truthful of sayings is that which is contained in the scripture, the final scripture, the book of Allah, the Quran. وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the best form of guidance, the only source of guidance, was what was brought by Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the most evil of affairs in this religion of Islam is the innovation. The innovations, the changes, it's the most evil. Why? Because كُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. Every innovation in the religion is a cursed innovation. وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every cursed innovation is a source of misguidance. It leads ultimately to the fire. Shaitan is behind innovation. Shaitan led Christians away from the worship of Allah to the worship of a man. A prophet of Allah, but a man. That is misguidance. That is innovation. Innovation which led people, a whole ummah, a quarter of the people of the earth, deviated en masse, in a whole, as a whole community, from worshipping Allah alone to worshipping a man, believing that they were worshipping Allah. What innovation, deviation, misguidance can be greater than that? Al-Muslim, akhul Muslim. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the believer is the brother of each and every other believing Muslim. This is what makes Islam unique. Our brotherhood is a brotherhood of faith, of submission to Allah. It is not a brotherhood of race, color, nationality. It is a brotherhood of faith. As such, the believer does not do him wrong, do his brother, Muslim, wrong. لا يظلمه. He does not oppress his brother, Muslim. He does not do wrong to him. المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. The true Muslim is one from whom other Muslims is safe from the actions of his tongue, things that he says, and the actions of his hands, things that he does. This is a Muslim, a true Muslim. And one who lives in accordance to this principle which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for us, this principle of guidance as to who is a true Muslim, then he becomes a brother of every other Muslim, because they will be safe from any harm coming from his tongue or his hand. And he has submitted his will to Allah, and as such, all those who submit their wills to Allah, regardless of their nationality or their race or their color, will be his brother. Similarly, sisters, because when we speak of brothers, we are speaking of the Ummah of Islam. Brother is not a term which means that just brothers are brothers of brothers, but that sisters are sisters of sisters. Muslims, whether male or female, belong to one fraternity, one family. This is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for us. And we in America, today are in a unique position in that the nationalism which arose amongst the ranks of Muslims in the past after the breakup of the Ottoman Caliphate or Empire and many states were formed by the colonial powers wherein individual national interests and feelings were glorified and encouraged. So Muslims started to look at each other as enemies, as being different from, as competing with. For the material things of this life, borders were drawn. Arguments developed over which side belonged to this country and which side belonged to that country. Something which is foreign from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This became the order of the day. This became a way of life. Generations grew up feeling, I am a Somali, and I am a Libyan, and I am a Saudi, and I am a Syrian. A feeling which in fact strikes at the very root of the brotherhood of Islam. We in America are in a unique position wherein we have been lumped together. We represent a mini version of Hajj. This is what Hajj does for people. Coming from countries where we're used to being around people who are like ourselves, we go to Hajj and we experience the greatness of the religion of Allah in that it has brought people from all walks of life, from all corners of the earth, into that one faith. Made them one. We experience that in Hajj. A very exhilarating, powerful spiritual experience. This is what we have here, potentially. We have that potential. However, many of us have brought our petty nationalisms from our countries here with us. So though we sit together here in Jummah, people sitting beside each other, you know, regardless of what their nationalities are or whatever. When Jummah is over, you find people starting to migrate towards groups. You know, all the Syrians will migrate over to one part of the masjid, or they'll leave together and they relate together, and all the Yemenis will go to another part. And something missing here. The lesson of the brotherhood has been lost. It is natural for us to feel comfortable around people who speak the same language in the same way that we speak it. Around people who share a common cultural background, it is natural. However, we shouldn't allow these natural feelings to exclude others who don't share those qualities with us. We are here in a situation in which our Islam is threatened. Our Islam is under attack, either overtly or covertly, obviously or in a hidden fashion. Our Islam is under attack. We have to work together. We are one brotherhood. We have to make this work together. We have worked together to establish this masjid. We have to continue to work together to maintain it. To give of what we have for the sake of Allah, to keep this house of Allah standing and functioning and serving our needs. We have to work together to do that. But even more importantly, we have to work together to establish that brotherhood which Islam calls to. To make it real again, as it was in the past. To make it real again so that Islam can take its proper place, Muslims can take their proper place in this land, be respected and not hated, contribute and be envied as they were in the past, and ultimately affect the course of this ummah, this nation, affect it so that it will serve ultimately the will of God on this earth. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. All praise is due to Allah. May Allah's peace and blessings be on the last messenger of Allah. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم had said, من فارق الجماعة شبرا فقد خلع ربقة الإسلام من عنقه. Whoever moves away from the community, the width of a palm, has taken from his neck the bond of Islam, that which binds him to the ummah. This is telling us we have to work together. We can't splinter off to form our own individual cultural associations. Islam is one. The ummah is one. The brotherhood is one brotherhood. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Allah has told us, the believers are one brotherhood. Whoever strives to break that brotherhood, to break off, and to call others to breaking off, to being away from, that person in doing that is throwing away the bonds which bind him to Islam. He may be praying 5 times a day, etc. But the value of that prayer is diminished by the evil of his actions. And that which binds us together, that brotherhood of Islam, can only be achieved if we know what Islam is. The brotherhood of Islam will not be achieved if all we know of Islam is what we picked up from being raised in Muslim families in different parts of the world. What is known as cultural Islam, ritual Islam. The brotherhood does not exist within the ritual. The brotherhood exists within living Islam, the living face of Islam. When people understand what is Islam and have committed themselves to that Islam, committed, chosen Islam, Islam being a religion of choice and not one of chance. I happen to be born in Yemen or Morocco, so that's why I'm a Muslim. No, I'm a Muslim because I believe in Allah. I have accepted the oneness of Allah, Allah's control over my life, all aspects of my life. I have accepted that in my heart, not just on my tongue, not something I'm saying, but something that actually springs from my heart. And I have accepted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the guide, as the one who has the path to Allah, the path to paradise. He is the one who left for us that path, the only one. It is the only path, the only way to salvation. That is the foundations of my Islam. I have accepted that. I have chosen that. Consciously, not unconsciously. I have chosen it consciously. And in doing that, then I have bonded myself to every other Muslim in this world who has made that same choice. That is the foundation. That is the way. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ أَمْرِينَ إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَضِلُّوا أَبَدًا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي. I've left with you two things. If you hold on to them firmly, you will never go astray. The Book of Allah, the Quran, and my Sunnah. That's the foundation of the faith. That is the foundation of the brotherhood. That is what we share. That is what we have in common. In spite of the differences which exist in our physical forms, our personal experiences, our ways of dress, mannerisms, etc. In spite of all of these differences, we have in common a commitment, an acceptance, a spiritual acceptance, a spiritual and physical acceptance of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the last Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that bonds us together with bonds which are greater than the bonds of our families, as demonstrated by the Messenger of Allah and his companions. Those of their families who rejected Islam, they were prepared to reject, to fight when necessary. It was a duty to call. But if they rejected and fought, then they fought. Those bonds had no meaning any longer. And that is the reality for us today. That those who have rejected Islam, in practice, though they may say, we're Muslims, whatever, but they've rejected Islam in practice. Such are hated by Allah. They're not loved by Allah. We cannot love them. Because if we love those whom Allah hates, then we do not deserve the love of Allah. Faith requires that we love those who Allah loves. And we hate those who Allah hates. This does not mean that we don't have a duty. We have a duty to carry the message of Islam to all. Family, friends, co-workers, etc. That duty is there. And of course, though we may hate their state of disbelief, the fact that they have chosen disbelief over belief, we still have to call in such a way that people may accept that call. We have to realize that we have that duty to convey the message. And we are driven by our love for their guidance. This is why we're calling. Because we love. We wish that they be guided. And that love and that wish is reflected in our faces, in our expressions, how we communicate. So the people experience that love and that concern. And inshallah, if Allah wishes, they will listen. And if Allah wishes, they may be guided. Allah has commanded us in His book to send peace and blessings on the last messenger of Allah by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل محمد. We send peace and blessings on the messenger of Allah because he is the one who brought all of the good that is in this life. all of the good that there is to be gotten from this life, He showed us the way to get it. And as we feel naturally inclined to praise and to wish good for those who do good for us, then we should feel that way even more so, even more strongly, for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sacrificed, he struggled, and he brought that way for us. And because of that, it becomes a part of our faith to love him more than ourselves. It is a part of faith.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار.
Allah, give us the best of this life and the best of the next life, and protect us from the hellfire.
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.
Allah, don't cause our hearts to stray after you have guided us, and give from us, from yourself, mercy, because you are the best who gives.
ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار.
Allah, forgive us our sins and the excesses in our actions, and forgive us the evil that we have done, and allow us to die amongst the righteous.
Allah, protect this ummah and guide it to the right path, and put in the hearts of the believers a sincere and true love for the fellow believers. Aqim as-salah.